Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is May 27th, 2022, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, Friday, we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 6, the second paragraph, "The mind and body are marvelous mechanisms," ending with, "I was 40 pounds underweight." And we're going to be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Joanne L., 12 Traditions, Brandy M., Reader of the Text, Eileen M., Alice G. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Christina J. The reference number for Thursday, May 26th, is 18,995. That's 18995. And for this morning, Friday, May 27th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 18,997. That's 18997. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Sharon B., and Robin P. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, "Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers." At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning, Dawn, and again, thank you for your service. Good morning, everybody on the line. My name is Joanne L. from Rhode Island, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. And I just want to thank Leah for letting me do service this whole month. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us in the power to carry that out. In 12, having had a spiritual awakening, as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks again, everybody. Have a great weekend and be safe.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. I'll now ask Brandy M. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Brandy.
Good morning. It's Brandy M., recovered in Alberta, Canada. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups as OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, or films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Brandy M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 6, the second paragraph, The Mind and Body Are Marvelous Mechanisms, ending, I was 40 pounds underweight, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I will now ask Eileen M. to read and share with us. Good morning, Eileen. Press star 1, Eileen. Oh, there we go.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. The mind and body are marvelous mechanisms, for mine endured this agony 2 more years. Sometimes I stole from my wife's slender purse when the morning terror and madness were on me. Again, I swayed dizzily before an open window or the medicine cabinet where there was poison, cursing myself for a weakling. There were flights from city to country and back as my wife and I sought escape. Then came the night when the physical and mental torture were so hellish I feared I would burst through my window, sash and all. Somehow I managed to drag my mattress to a lower floor, lest I suddenly leap. A doctor came with a heavy sedative. Next day found me drinking both gin and sedative. This combination soon landed me on the rocks. People feared for my sanity. So did I. I could eat little or nothing when drinking, and I was 40 pounds underweight. Yes, I can relate to this paragraph pretty well. I came into OA as a compulsive overeater, and within a few years, I got abstinent right away, and I was abstinent about 3 years, and then, I had done the steps and everything, and I became a compulsive undereater, and I actually ended up 20 pounds underweight for about 8 years, and I really, really struggled with anorexia for about 8 years while I was in program, while I was going to meetings. And, I was thinking that, getting as thin as possible was the answer to life, basically. It was the answer. That was my solution at that time. And, I thought that, I can relate to this sentence that says, my wife and I sought escape. Going, traveling all these places. And I actually thought that would be, that was similar to what my thinking was, that the out somehow, focusing on getting external things was going to fix me. you know, achievements and such, you know, overachieving and that sort of thing, and being a workaholic, I thought, you know, those things were going to fix the inside. And, you know, I learned over time it's an inside job. And, you know, compulsive under-eating is just, it's another symptom of the spiritual malady. You know, it's just another thing. And I'm so grateful, you know, with the right guidance, I was able to recover from those two conditions. Because after, you know, I recovered from the compulsive under-eating, I went back to compulsive overeating, you know. So it was just, I don't know, it was like a cycle. And I just, you know, I was able to recover through following the directions in this book. So with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Eileen M. I'm now going to open up the line to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Bruce E.
Bruce E.
Eileen D.
Jim E.
Eileen D.
Yeah,
Becca R.
Becca R. And there was
Jim
a gentleman's
E.
name in there, Jim E.
Katie G.
Yep.
Katie
Pamela
G.
E.
Yep.
Pamela E.
Deborah G.
Deborah G. Let's stop there. Okay, I have Bruce E., Eileen D., Becca, Jim E., Katie G., Pamela E., and Deborah G. Bruce E., why don't you go ahead and get us started, please? Go ahead, Bruce E., press star one.
Okay, I'm here with you, Bruce E. I'm recovered in Florida. Thank you, everybody. Thanks, moderator. And, yeah, well, I got the biggest kick I got out of this. Well, I got a lot out of it, but marvelous, the mind and body are marvelous mechanisms for mine endured this agony 2 more years. So, you know, he's going to go through 2 more years of hitting more and more bottoms. And I've done that. And looking back on my mind and body, it's amazing how much my body endured of the sugar that I poured into it and let it gush through my veins and into my heart and all over my body. And all the carbs and all the stuff and I mentioned before, you know, a big thing, biggest trigger foods for me were donuts, all different kinds, and then cappuccino with it, and half a dozen, and then a couple of 16-ounce cappuccino, and I could hit the moon real easy, and better than heroin, really. And anyway, I just, you know, what I went through, what I put my body through, and what I put my mind through, because, you know, it triggered all those dolphins or whatever they are in my mind. And, you know, I just got up there really quick. And then I would just make a crash down. And, you know, that was all my mind and my body going through. I was just wreaking havoc on myself. And so that's what I really appreciate God for, giving me a mind and a body that endured so much. And I'm recovered now, and I'm not doing that stuff anymore. So thank God I've, you know, tapered off that, gotten off that. So then Bill keeps hitting more and more bottoms here. He stole from his wife's purse. He thinks about suicide. Then he finds himself drinking both gin and sedatives. So he took his addiction to a higher level there. And I've done that. I mean, you know, it never got any better without recovery. You know, I just kept taking this addiction to a higher and higher level all the time. And suicide, yeah, I thought about that. That's what brought me into a spiritual experience, actually, when I was 38, was on the verge of suicide. And I don't go there anymore on the suicide thing. I don't even think about it anymore. It's been a while, quite a while. Thank you, since I've thought about that. And so I appreciate life today. I'm here, and you're all here. So thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Bruce E. from Florida. Eileen D., please share with us, followed by Becca. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning. This is Eileen D. from Maryland. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater for by God's grace today. This article, this paragraph really spoke to my heart. Because for one thing, there were flights from city to country and back as my wife and I sought escape. And in 1998, I'd been in program for many years, and I had like 9 years of abstinence. And in 1998, I got angry at God, of course. I turned to sugar almost 100 pounds later, and it took until 2019 for me to be given the gift of abstinence. So talk about the ups and downs, the escapes, the tragedy of being big and going yo-yoing and doing different diet programs and looking at and travel in the attempt to try to get the cure and hypnosis. And it was, but I'm still in and out of the room. So I was a real hardcore. So when the gift was given to me of abstinence and I got back into and thank you for a vision for you, because I came back during the pandemic big time, daily, listening to you guys and to my fellows. And I was then given the gift of abstinence before the pandemic. But then during the pandemic, I just kept growing and growing in the program and in my knowledge of God. And it's an amazing journey. I'm at a weight I'm comfortable with, have been abstinent for almost 4 years. So that is a gift. There's nothing I earned. It was given by working the steps and talking to you all and being honest about my pain and being honest about how I'm one bite away. I'm one bite away. The other day, I looked at something and I'm like, really? You really want to go there? You know, that one bite would get me almost 100 pounds. So I am grateful to be part of the program. I'm grateful for this meeting. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Eileen D. from Maryland. Becca R., please share with us, followed by Jim E.
Hey, good morning. It's Becca R., recovering compulsive overeater, calling in from Kentucky. And the line that stuck out to me was that physical description of 40 pounds underweight. And I can look for the differences way easier than I can look for the similarities when I'm, when I came to OA. And I just wanted to share that almost my entire eating career, anyone could have looked at me and said, she's a normal body size. I fluctuated, 15 to 20 pounds in my disease. But, I looked at that as an excuse to not come to Overeaters Anonymous. I had a preconceived notion that the program was for very severely anorexic and thin people or severely obese people. But when I listened to you guys and specifically Bill's story, and I could identify in that it didn't matter what my physical body looked like, it was that emotional, mental chaos that plagued me. And I can identify with the earlier piece of the passage where he's talking about going from city to country. And it just makes me think of going from one thing to the other. Like, I'll feel better when this happens. I can remember when my husband was finishing up his training and we had a couple moves. And I kept thinking, well, when we move here, I'll feel better. When we move here, I'll feel better. When we move home, I'll feel better. When I have a baby, I'll feel better. But nothing ever relieved that God-sized hole that I discovered I had. And I'm so grateful that I did, because my answer has been in the 12 steps and in the big book and by abstinence and being connected to a God of my understanding. I don't have that need to search for the next thing. I can look inside and find that the ruby red slippers were there all along. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Becca R. from Kentucky. Jim E., will you share with us, followed by Katie G.? If you're just joining us, we are on page 6, the second paragraph. The mind and body are marvelous mechanisms, ending with, I was 40 pounds underweight, and we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph today. Jim E., please share with us.
Thank you. Hey, I'm Jim, also overeater, and recovered for today, it would seem. Yeah. I read this paragraph. The first word that comes to mind is chaos. Chaos, insanity. And this is the alcoholic or the compulsive overeater. It's attempting to live their life without a spiritual solution. And in fact, that in this case, Bill is living without knowing that even such a solution could exist. For me, the steps are what took me from that cycle of, I'm going to figure this out. I'm in the food again. I might as well just finish up this binge, but after that, I'm going to figure it out. And then the remorse and the despair and the insanity of, and the feelings of wanting to die, definitely thinking about dying. And then vowing to do better, and that just going on and on. The steps are what took me out of that, and the steps are what allow me to live like a recovered person and not go back to that. And for me, Bill is, 2 years living like that is pretty, it's hard to believe, but I look back at the amount of time I would just go through that cycle. And it was my first OA meeting was 2010, I think. And I heard, we said the serenity prayer at the end of the meeting, and I heard God. And I thought, well, that's it for me. I'm not coming back. I'll figure this out myself. And eventually, the food, the word God chased me out. The food chased me back in, eventually. And I'm so, so grateful for the steps. I do believe I would be dead without them. And I'm very, very grateful for the fellowship as well. I'm very grateful to be starting my day here on the West Coast with a meeting, and I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jim E. Katie G., please share with us, followed by Pamela E., and please let us know where you're calling from.
Hey, friends. Katie G., recovering in Boston, but I'm actually driving to New Hampshire. Yeah, I just wanted to pitch in. I think for a long time, I came in and whatever with the weight, it's just a symptom and there's never enough weight to lose, and for me. And I missed that the steps were the treasure map to a treasure, and the treasure is God, and only God can fix me, and I've been in the rooms for 18 years. I've been abstinent, thank God, going on my 8th year. But I have to tell you, emotional sobriety is the final frontier. And, I just thought if I could get recovered, I wouldn't have to do the steps again. I wouldn't have to grow and change. And I didn't think it was a problem that I was continuing to repeat the same resentments and that I was seeking oblivion in these quote-unquote abstinent behaviors that, are conference approved, and yet they're blocking me from God. And, what I've been seeing is how each and every day, this addict inside of me wants more. And unless I'm, on guard, I can lose touch with God. And God is not the meeting, and God is not my sponsor, and God is not a sponsee, and God is not my husband or my children. I'll tell you what, the worst day of my life was the day after I got married, because I was still me. And I'm still me now, and I have two children in a beautiful house, and I got into an emotional sobriety issue that, you know, really demanded that I go back through the steps and demanded that I look at how the first 100 went through the book and got to God, and that the requirement for me is that I continue to seek out a deeper relationship with God. Like, I thought that line about, you know, many of us seek out religions of our childhood, I thought that was optional. But the more abstinent I stay, the more deeply I must grow in God. And I wasn't seeing that, right? Like, you don't know what you don't know, and you can't see what you can't see. And the cure isn't just doing the steps and being done. And the cure isn't just bopping it out every day with a 10, right? And an 11. It's going to God, right? Am I picking up the phone before I pick up God? Right? God's available 24/7. And am I believing in God, or am I believing God? And with that, I pass. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much, Katie G. from Massachusetts. Pamela E., please share with us, followed by Deborah G., and then I'll be opening up the lines to take more names. Good morning, Pamela.
Hi, this is Pamela E. here in California. Good morning. Good morning, U.S. Good morning, world. And I'm so glad to be with you all this morning. And Bill's story, you know, I think like Bill thought. I act like Bill act. And I still do. That's like acting like before he got the recovery. And today is a new day. It's another day one day at a time in recovery. And I'm wake up how high and mighty. And it's like, whoa, God has me, and God does. But then my own will takes over. Then I think about going to the sugar flower shack and getting this and that. But today, when I surrender to God, one thought at a time, one prayer at a time, I don't have to live that life. And it doesn't matter what it says in the DSM, because now there is an official, they added binge eating disorder to the, you know, mental disorders. And yeah, so it's a diagnosis from a psychologist or a marriage and family therapist or whatever. It doesn't matter, because there is a treatment for my spiritual malady, and my malady started with me needing to be, have people be different than they are, and that makes me hungry. And it starts and it's ongoing, because my will, I make my will stronger than God. That's never going to work. That's never going to work. I'm saying that right now. I'm going to eat my 3 committed meals today, commit them to myself, to God, to another person. Yeah, I don't have to live the other way today. I'm choosing to live in recovery, to feed my recovery and not my disease today. So thanks for being here. Yep, I'm going to just work it. Yep, work it. Better yet, I'm going to surrender. So thanks for being here, and let me share my journey with you one day at a time, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Pamela E. from California. Deborah G., please share with us, and then I'll be opening up the line to take more names. Again, we are on page 6, the second paragraph. The mind and body are marvelous mechanisms, ending with, I was 40 pounds underweight, commenting on that one paragraph. Go ahead, Deborah G. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Dawn. And thank you again so much for being of service, and everyone for being of service today and 12-stepping me, and hope you all have a wonderful, safe holiday weekend. And I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. And yes, I was thinking about all the things that I used to do to myself, you know, with when I ingested these alcoholic foods. You know, my mind was crazy. I couldn't stay focused on things. I wasn't present because I was mentally obsessing all the time about food. I wasn't connected with other people. I wasn't connected with life. I was never connected with the present moment. and what was happening at that time, and our connected, the big one connected to God in that way. I was so unconscious, you know, couldn't sleep. I was miserable. I was easily angered. You know, my skin even itched. I mean, there's all these things that I continue to do. And, you know, I just had a thought this morning. I was in 12-step program at the time, and for other things, other addictions. And I never thought to bring this to God, to bring this to the 12 steps. You know, I think I went through the steps a couple times, but I really wasn't going through the steps. I was just, you know, not really in the experience of it. You know, just really being connected to God through that experience, getting that transformation and that deeper relationship. And I'm so glad that I had all those experiences, all those bottoms, like we talked about, where I finally got to a place where I truly let go of that last alcoholic food. And I got myself an OA Vision sponsor. And I went through those steps quickly and honestly, and had that transformation, had that deeper relationship with God, and now live in 10, 11, and 12. And still go through the steps. And I go through the steps too when I take others through the steps. I mean, it's just a beautiful, beautiful way to live in helping other people, you know, with their suffering, with what they went through. It's just a beautiful, beautiful way to live. And I'm grateful to be part of it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. from Arizona. And I'm now going to open up the line to take the names of people who would like to share on the paragraph. Page 6, second paragraph, the mind and body are marvelous mechanisms, reading through that one paragraph only. We value your experience. We ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who hasn't shared in the last 3 days and would like to share?
Leanne W.
Who else would like to share?
Sharon B.
Sharon B. And was that Barbara?
Barbara B.
Okay, Barbara, we're having reception problems, so maybe we'd have you call in and try again because you're really faint. Was there someone else we'd like to share as well?
Maureen W.
Kim L.
And we'll stop there. Okay, Leanne W., Sharon B., Barbara B., if your reception can be a little better, and Maureen W., followed by Kim L. So, Leanne W., please get us started. And let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Leanne W. from Massachusetts. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Oh, perfect. I wasn't sure if I wanted to mute. So it's good to be here, and I am calling from Massachusetts, and this reading really jumped out at me this morning. The mind and body are marvelous mechanisms, and I, you know, when I look even at the previous paragraph that was read yesterday and how much it fits, it just, for me, I've been a part of this program for the greater part of my life. I came in when I was in my late 20s, and I was underweight at best, and now I'm approaching 60. And so, you know, it definitely shows for me that, you know, what my mind and body have endured have been crazy. But, you know, I was like a previous caller. I had come in, I was underweight. I had been severely underweight at many periods of my life, especially early on. And then as I got older, my body went through changes, and it couldn't endure all of the crazy things that I was doing to my body to stay thin. I actually started putting on weight, and this was horrific in my mind, and which resulted in more control. And every time I came back to OA, but I continued to treat OA as if it was a diet club. It took me a long time to figure out that this is not a diet club. that there is actually a program here that brings about recovery. I am recovered today, thank you, God, and I am sponsoring, thank you, God, and sharing this program with others, and this is the lifeline. But what was most interesting for me is that I became recovered when I was heavy, and to me it was like I needed to be thin and recovered. Not heavy and recovered. And not only was I heavy and recovered, but I also went through a period where I got sick and I had cancer and a number of other things, which forced me to stay at a higher weight, not because I was eating the food, but because of the what my body was going through with the different diseases and changes that were occurring. And I just, knowing from this program, I just needed to stick it out and continue to focus on the spiritual recovery that is promised as a result of this program. And, you know, God has done amazing things for me. And, you know, I am in a great place today. You know, but for the grace of God, the weight is coming off, not because I'm dieting, but because I'm treating my body the way it was intended to be treated, and I'm able to share my program with others. And so it's just a wonderful gift to be here. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Leanne W. from Massachusetts. Now, Sharon B., will you share with us, followed by Barbara B.? Go ahead, Sharon.
Yes, thank you, Dawn. Hey, family. My name's Sharon, grateful. Recovered, not cured, compulsive eater in Michigan. And, oh, my gosh, I can so relate to this paragraph. And oddly enough, I was experiencing this in recovery. I was in recovery in another group. I had joined a OA group and was doing that. And yet I was feeling, you know, there I swayed dizzily before an open fridge door, you know, in my case, you know, the door to the car. You know, I was and am hypoglycemic, and yet I was going to kill myself with this food. And I totally relate it to page 52. You know, I was a prey to misery and depression. I couldn't make a living. I had the 12 steps, but somehow I couldn't quite apply it to this. I had a feeling of uselessness. I was full of fear. I was unhappy. I couldn't seem to be of real help to other people, even though I had service positions galore. I was in misery. And it's amazing to me what marvelous mechanisms the mind and body are, that they endured that for so many years. For me, it was another 8 years. Where I swayed dizzily before the fridge and ready to kill myself, just praying at night that I'd be dead when I woke up, you know, that I wouldn't wake up, that just there would be some solution, that I just could be done with this. I was done, you know, and going from place to place and person to person and situation to situation, trying to fix it, and the mental torture and wishing that it just would all go away somehow. And it was all part of that finding that place where I just absolutely couldn't do it anymore, and I surrendered, you know, and gave up and said, I just can't. I don't care what I have to do, you know. And then I got here, and then the door opened. When the student's ready, the teacher appears. You know, and that teacher gratefully was the Vision for You, and my Vision for You sponsor, and my Vision for You fellows. And for that, I'm so, so eternally grateful and glad to be alive today. And with that, I shall pass. Thanks, family.
Thank you so much, Sharon B. from Michigan. Barbara B., please share with us, followed by Maureen W. Good morning, Barbara.
Can you hear me?
Yes, mm-hmm. Much better.
Yeah, hi, I'm Barbara B. from Connecticut. I'm very grateful to be here and have this meeting. And I was driving, so I'm sorry I couldn't get the whole paragraph, but I just want to share because my mind and my body, they don't work together anymore. It's like I've been through the program for 1 year now, and I just started 12 steps again with another sponsor because now I'm committing with my food, and I'm feeling very grateful to that because then I thought it was impossible for me, and then I'm feeling that I can do this, you know. And I did bariatric surgery before the program, so after the... Before the bariatric, I was like, oh, I'm going to be perfect. My life will be perfect. I'm going to, you know, lose the weight and that's it. And that's from the disease. It was an illusion that I was on it. And after the bariatric, I see now that's how I came to the program for real, because now I was fighting my mind with my body. I want to eat with my mind with the disease, but then my body was like, you cannot, because I was going to throw up. I was going to feel sick because I cannot hold anymore. So thank God, God gave me that because I couldn't binge. And finally, I admit, I have, you know, like, because before I didn't want to believe that I have the disease. I was like just, you know, pretending that I was normal and I would like to be normal somehow. It's the lies, you know. And then now, the mind and body, I have, with the recovery that I've been seeing, I pause. When I want to eat somehow for no reason, I just pause and I have this opportunity to pray and say, am I really hungry? Maybe it's just, you know, I'm thirsty. God, please help me with this moment. And then I've been able to you know, get my mind with my body at the same like balanced, you know. I don't force anymore, and I'm very aware of what I've been doing with my body and with my mind, and I've been putting God in my first, my best friend, my everything, that He can do what I can't, and I'm every day giving the control to Him. So I'd like to share there that because it's really it's been very special for me to get into the mindset, you know, that I really have the disease and that's okay. It's like, you know, people have cancer, they don't feel guilt. So I gotta just love myself, love God, and love everybody, and go and do the action. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Barbara B. Maureen W., will you share with us now, followed by Kim L. Good morning, Maureen.
Hi, this is Laureen W., and I am from the South Shore area of Boston, Massachusetts. And I admit that I am a compulsive overeater. I have been in program over 30 years, and I've been on Visions for You probably the last 4 to 5 years. And I really appreciate this program so much. This paragraph has explained to me, just like the doctor's opinion explained to me, the degree of my disease. Yes, I did think of suicide more than once, just getting in the car and hitting a tree, and then I thought, oh my God, what if I became like a vegetable and somebody had to care for me? And I just couldn't bring myself to that, to do to others. This disease tells me today I have COVID. And I, in the past, thought whenever I was sick, I could eat what I wanted because I was sick. No, this disease tells me other things about myself, that I'm not worthy, that I'm not who I say I am. And God has brought me to a point where I can push that all aside and say, I need to stay on program. I need to eat what I committed to. I need to stay healthy. Granted, some things are not going to work for me when I'm not feeling well, but I have other abstinent food that I can eat and be comfortable and not overeat and not undereat, because that's where illness sometimes brings me as well. Just go to bed and not eat. Oh, maybe I'll lose weight. Well, no, that's not healthy for me. Go to bed and rest in between, because that's what I should do for my health. And God wants me to be healthy. Why I got this disease, I don't know. why I became a compulsive overeater. I have a lot of blame issues. But, you know, it gets to a point where the blame doesn't work anymore. I'm really an adult. I'm 74 years old, and I need to own up to my home behaviors now and in the past. I need to say to myself, God, you brought me here today where I am today, and I need to listen to you so that I don't go off my program. I don't listen to other things in my head. I just pay attention to what I am for today and for this minute. And that's why I got on program today. I couldn't go to work, so I needed to stay home and remind myself who I am and what I am doing for today. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Laureen W. from Massachusetts. Kim L., please share with us.
Hi, this is Kim from Canada, Alberta, Canada. And can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay. So I'm grateful for this meeting. I have been in the OA rooms for a long time, and I've worked a very strong HOW program, and I've been in relapse for 5 months. And I'm sharing because, you know, I can just, well, because I need to. I need to be out of my isolation, and every day is a day one for me, so it's day one again. And what really strikes me is that my mind cannot connect the massive weight gain to the food that I eat. And I'm not having a crisis in my life. I'm actually having a massive gift where I've been gifted like a large sum of money and bought like my dream farm. And I can't understand why my body and my mind has gone to food when it's something to celebrate. And it just shows me how sick I am with the disease and how many layers of surrender there is. I mean, there's so many layers of surrender, and they're so, I don't really know what to say, because I have what we have when you're close to the food, which is head fuzz and numbness. And I don't think I experienced so much. I wish I would die. What I have been experiencing in the past few months is this deep, deep hate. It's this self-hate where I wake up and I look into the mirror and I'm just like, you're so ugly. And you weren't worthy when you were skinny, so you might as well just be good and fat. And then nobody will even come near you, so you won't have to be rejected because you're already rejectable. So there's some work to be done in there, which I know through the steps. And I am grateful that in the pain, I know the solution. It's not like I'm in the pain and I don't have a clue how to get out. So thanks for everyone being here, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Kim L. from Canada. And thank you to everyone who shared. If you're new, please stick around. We have a special time for newcomers to announce their names and numbers. We're now going to close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Alice G. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, everyone. Alice G., recovered compulsive overeater in Wisconsin. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.